It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Across the nation, the role of faith and religion in daily life is having a resurgence.
A recent report from the Hartford Institute for Religion Research found church attendance across the country increased for the first time in 25 years.
And a recent Gallup survey found 42% of young men say religion is very important to them. That's up nearly 15% from 2 years ago.
But researchers note the attendance growth is not enough to reverse years of declines in congregations across the country.
So, what are church leaders here in Wisconsin noticing in their communities?
Episcopal church leaders and a researcher join us for that discussion. Mother Amy Heimerl is the vicar of two Episcopal churches, Ascension in Merrill and St. Ambrose in Antigo. And Father Chris Corbin is the priest at Trinity Episcopal Church in Oshkosh. And Reverend Thomas Peach is an assistant professor of theology at Concordia University, Wisconsin, a Lutheran university in Mequon. Welcome to you all.
Thank you for having me.
It's my sincere pleasure to be here.
Hey, great to be here too.
Pastor Peach, let's start with you. And these recent findings on church attendance across the nation showing an increase for the first time in decades. What do you make of it?
Well, in some ways, it's not a complete surprise to see the data reflect what some of us have been experiencing anecdotally. And so it's a really interesting kind of phenomenon that's been going on for some years now, too, where younger people are returning to the church, perhaps in greater numbers than we would expect. There was a long period of decline in church attendance. And it's not to say that there's a huge numbers of revival among young adults necessarily, but some of the decline is just being checked a little bit. And we're seeing new faces in the pews. Pastors are getting new knocks on the door from people with very varied backgrounds as well. And so the data, in a way, I think reflects what people in the churches have been quietly observing for some time.
Father Chris in Oshkosh, what are you hearing from congregants who are returning to your church or attending for the first time?
I think that a similar phenomenon is happening. The rise I particularly can point to in young men's religiosity. That's actually been a pretty significant band that we've seen in terms of coming just to our church. We have been a congregation that has been growing, and that's a not insignificant part. But I think I've also just noticed a general return across age bands that is, I would echo, marked by this sense of a desire to connect with something deeper that is not being met in the community at large, or if not to connect with something deeper, a desire to have community in an increasingly isolating world. I think that that's also a pretty significant thing that is coming up. And religious communities, and that means especially, I think, in the United States, churches provide spaces for communal living that don't exist in almost any other place.
Interesting. Mother Amy, turning to you, leading two small congregations in Wisconsin, in Merrill and Antigo, you know, rural communities can also be isolating on their own. They can also be very much community-oriented. You almost had to close the congregation in Antigo because it had just six members. What has brought it back?
We had voted actually in October. We voted to close, but not until Easter Vigil. We would make that our final service because we wouldn't want to leave a church empty over the winter. And we said, okay, if nothing else changes, we will do this. And what happened was one person said, we can't do this anymore. And of course, at that moment, when we say we can't, that's when God says, I can, because that is really the only way anything actually gets done, in my belief, is when we finally surrender. But really what happened was we reluctantly said, okay, this is our reality. And then God said, no, I'm not doing that. And it was kind of a cute story. I was driving up to Rice Lake for a meeting, and my phone rang, and it was a number I didn't recognize. And of course, I don't answer numbers I don't recognize in this day and age. People can leave a message if they need me to call them back. And so I wasn't going to answer, but I heard this voice that said, answer the phone. And I argued and I said, no. And the voice again, answer the phone. And I said, no. And sternly, it was answer the phone. And fine, I'll answer the phone. And I answered, and it was a man who wanted to bring a ministry, use our church for a ministry. They had had an existing ministry in the city, but needed to leave the place where they were having that ministry due to just some things that the church they were in needed more space, et cetera. And I said, well, I can't make that decision on my own. You can come and talk to the congregation. And I didn't mention to him that we had just voted to close. And I said, you can come after our worship service. And he said, well, why don't I come for your worship service? I said, well, that's even better. And he came with his wife. They run the ministry together. They have started to bring friends. And the ministry is, it's called Starting Over, which is extremely relevant for our church, St. Ambrose in Antigo.
Father Chris, I understand you are conducting your own study on attendance in the Episcopal Church. What's come up so far? What do you want to look at?
To give some background, I had kind of just gotten tired of the constant barrage of news about the church declining. And when I say the church, I mean particularly the denomination, the Episcopal Church, because while that is true, and it is important for churches to be aware of the lived reality of the larger denomination, I also know about these churches that are growing, that have experienced new life, have experienced the coming together of spiritual and numerical vitality. And I had recently read Chip and Dan Heath's book, Switch, which talks about the importance of looking at bright spots. And rather than looking at what's failing and try to fix what's failing, you lift up what is working well and try to replicate that. And I'd gotten frustrated that that was not happening at a larger denominational level. So I finally said, okay, I guess I'm going to have to do it. So I began looking at bright spot churches that had seen consistent growth or were at least stable from 2011 through 2023 and were able to actually weather and continue growing through that period. What came out of that initial survey, though, was that a lot of the things that were common to them looked like, to me, just background Episcopal churchness. Hmm. It looked like just the background denominational character. So that's what really led me to say, okay, I've got to actually do a census of the whole Episcopal Church. And so we are at a place where over 5,600, almost 5,700 churches have been offered the capacity to take part in this study, and we're beginning to get that data in, but we haven't analyzed it yet. But what I can say, just even looking at that first wave, some of the things that began to pop as at least hypotheticals, at least possibilities pushing forward to look at in this second wave of the survey are sort of unsurprisingly churches that are growing. They follow up with their newcomers. If someone shows up, someone at the church is going to follow up and say, hey, we're glad that you showed up. Hmm. They're not going to get sort of left on red, as it were, as a from the congregation. There's an investment in the quality of the worship, not necessarily the style. And that, I think, is important, is that it's not that this correlates to any particular style, but whatever style you do it well. And then there's a real strong emphasis on getting people into formation outside of the Sunday service. So one of the things that came up was something like the median percentage of adults who were involved in formation in these consistently growing churches was like 55% of Sunday attendance, which if you have a lot of young people, that may be really close to saying that all the adults who are showing up on Sunday are also taking part in some sort of formation. So,
and when you say formation, yeah, what do you mean by that?
Okay, so that could be an ongoing explicit sort of lecture class that's mm-hmm. put on, say, by the pastor or by another lay person in the congregation. That could be a small group that has a book study component. Uh-huh. That could be Sunday mornings. Let's have an adult forum between the services where we're going to talk about a different topic every week. But it's investing beyond just showing up on Sunday.
Okay. We are talking about church attendance in Wisconsin after national polls show signs of a resurgence. That is Father Chris Corbin there, priest at Trinity Episcopal Church in Oshkosh. We have Mother Amy Heimerl, the vicar of Ascension Episcopal in Merrill and St. Ambrose Episcopal in Antigo, and Reverend Thomas Peaches here, an assistant professor of theology at Concordia University. As we talk about involvement in the church, and as Father Chris is finding, you know, we're also seeing in these studies that volunteerism is up in churches from this recent report. There's more involvement showing, you know, like pre-pandemic levels. And I wonder, Pastor Peach, what do you make of that as an indication of the health of a community, of the health of a church?
Well, obviously, it's very encouraging to see people do some heavy lifting and volunteering around the parish. I think especially in my experience, one challenge for young people coming into the church is sometimes to translate what they've seen online. They've been watching videos or listening to things about religiosity and spirituality, and to translate that into actual concrete liturgical practice. It's one thing to kind of intellectualize the faith or think that it's good for society or good for me in particular, but another thing to actually begin the life of love towards your neighbor, of confessing your sins and receiving the holy body and blood of Christ for forgiveness and praising God and doing these other practices. And one of the things this data shows is the encouraging way in which people are, for better and for worse in some situations, translating what begins as more of a perhaps online directed impulse that I need to, having watched Jordan Peterson videos or something like this, attend my local church, but then to translate that into an actual embodied participation in the holy things of God too.
Hmm. Mother Amy, I understand you have a presence on social media and have become more known in the community because of that. Is this part of how church leaders need to adapt to find new ways to reach people?
Well, I just want to clarify about my online presence. We at both of my churches, we are not online. We don't stream. We don't interact online at the church. But what I do is every day, except Fridays, I do an online, just a Facebook Live, whether it is a short scripture reading with a few of my thoughts about it, or just leading prayer, and just try to make a daily presence where people can kind of get a taste for maybe what they will hear or what, you know, to reflect the theology that, so they kind of know what they would be stepping into. So what happens oftentimes is I'll be in the community and somebody will say, "Oh, hey, you're Amy, you're Mother Amy. I've watched you online," or, or, "Hey, aren't you that pastor who works with special needs people and does a special needs service, or aren't you, you know," I'll get questions, or be recognized in the community. And it's always surprising and humbling to know that, you know, that people are tuning in and people are listening. And I think it also, you know, there are some people who are not as, who have very different views, I guess, than I would have, that it can kind of help them decide maybe what they also don't want. Yet on the other hand, I would consider at least my church in Merrill a very purple church. And we, you know, despite whatever it is that I say, maybe that they agree or disagree with, we still love each other and come together as community. You know, whether whether we agree on politics or we agree on things or not. So yeah, that presence is more of from my personal page. I share it to my church pages. But as far as the church goes, the services, they are in person. And I feel like that's where we need to be right now, is only in person.
Father Chris, I want to land with you here. You know, as we look at this report on church attendance and whether it's a blip or a sign of recovery and renewal for churches, you're in conversation with so many churches. I'm wondering, is there skepticism out there or is there optimism at this point?
I think there is both. So I'm perhaps a little bit too online as sort of my personal identity on. So Blue Sky is one of the big places I'm on, and I definitely see everyone kind of posting reports about increases in religiosity in a way that really fits their confirmation bias. So the folks who want there to be a revival are really excited by the data, and the people who maybe don't or are sort of dispositionally pessimist will post sort of saying, yeah, but you still have to remember that this doesn't negate the larger generational trends that we're seeing. And I think you have to actually hold both of those things together. That it is true that Gen Z is the most unreligious generation in America right now, that is true, and that the fact that some of these more, and especially more traditional and more theologically and sometimes socially conservative denominations do seem to be increasing. And sometimes if you look in isolation, say at the increases in Orthodox worship attendance, they can be astounding, but you still have to hold that number over and against the larger background of religious disaffiliation or non-religiosity in the United States. So The big thing I would say to churches is don't allow either the narrative decline or the narrative of resurgence to be an excuse to not to put the work in. I think that is really what people are often looking for, is to say, these are larger trends that we have no control over. And so we can be optimistic if there is a larger trend towards resurgence, because that means our church will grow again and we don't really have to do anything to make that happen. Or the reason our church is declining is because people just aren't going to church anymore. And so it's really not our fault. We don't really have any agency, but that means we also don't have any responsibility. And I think that churches can find a kind of comfort in that. But I would push back and say,
don't get caught up in the narrative.
Exactly. Yeah. That what matters is your individual congregation doing what it needs to reach out to and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in the community around you, and also to not make sort of unforced errors.
Well, thank you so much for exploring this topic and for this conversation, Father Chris, Pastor Peach, and Mother Amy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for having me.
It was absolutely my pleasure.
That is Mother Amy Heimerl, vicar of two Episcopal churches, Ascension in Merrill and St. Ambrose in Antigo, Father Chris Corbin, priest at the Trinity Episcopal Church in Oshkosh, and Reverend Thomas Peach, an assistant professor of theology at Concordia University, Wisconsin. They responded to a recent report that found for the first time in two decades, church attendance is up in the U.S. and what this looks like for congregations here in Wisconsin.